This is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to call the meeting to order. It is 4:30 on the dot, and I'm calling the session of the University Assembly to order. First on our agenda is call for late additions. Are there any late additions or amendments to our agenda? Mr. Thompson.
Yes, I would like a motion to move the third item under business of the day to the executive session. That's the appointment of Judicial Administrator Search Committee members.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? The motion is to move the appointment of Judicial Administrator Search Committee members to the executive session. Is there any dissent?
Just curious of the rationale.
Mr. Thompson?
We will be discussing further what role we think the University Assembly should play in the Judicial Administrator Search Committee selection process, and we would like to keep the entire conversation confined to a single time during the meeting.
Okay. Is there any other comments or dissent? Hearing none, we will move Section 3 of Business of the Day to the executive session. Moving on, next door of business is the minutes of September 8th. Do I have any comments or concerns regarding the minutes? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes? Is there a second? Okay. Not a problem. Is there any dissent? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Moving into the next order of business, reports from the Assembly. Student Assembly. I'm noticing Ms. Batiste is not here. Do any of the Student Assembly representatives have anything that they would like to report on behalf of the SA?
We're getting all of our committees ready to go. That's our main focus right now. So we've staffed probably two-thirds of our committees right now, and we have about 1 year to go that we're going to finish tonight. And we've made all of our UA appointments except for one, which we'll have tonight.
Fantastic. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McBride?
Just a comment. Also, the SA just at 11 o'clock this afternoon completed their fall election, which is all very exciting, too. So we have more people to appoint to committees.
Or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations. Moving on to the Graduate Professional Student Assembly. Mr. Walrus, do you have anything to report?
So, as everyone knows, we have done a little bit of restructuring, so we now have added a new position for our executive board, that is a new vice president for communications, to try and help facilitate our communication with the federal community. And that person will also have some role in communicating with the other assemblies as well, so they'll sort of be in charge of any liaison position. Our operations and staffing committee is meeting this week, I believe I mentioned last night or tonight, to finish our appointments. So we should have, I believe we have people for all the slots for the UA committee. Also, we are, the GPSA is debating whether or not to give funding to the student-run grocery store, which is emerging on campus. And we will be deciding that very soon as we enter our activity season year and all of the chaos that goes along with that.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Walra?
How are you doing that specifically? Are you having your appropriate committee debate that, or the entire GPSA?
We had a presentation for the entire GPSA, and then there was some further discussion in our advocacy committee, actually. And we believe we will be having another possible discussion in this upcoming meeting, either a resolution to approve, or we might simply motion to, we haven't figured out the exact mechanism of it, but it's looking like it will go forward. Assuming the FA post, yeah. You kind of don't want to approve our allocation for the FA approved because there is a Google major allocation.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Walworth? Hearing none, moving on to the Employee Assembly, Mr. Sisoko.
So I think a lot of us were said to be in inauguration. Thanks for everyone that was there representing the assemblies and the Employee Assembly in particular. We are currently in the midst of figuring out our president's address to staff, so we're just nailing down some dates, as you can imagine, with lots of new senior leadership. It's kind of hard to narrow down the calendars, but it looks like we might have something in November. We also just recently received a response to Resolution 2, and I just turn over to Ulysses a little bit to share what that was.
Sure, that was one of the first resolutions that had to do a lot with our compliance obligations and then kind of going a little bit beyond them, but we need to catch up. I mean, it had a lot more to do with allowing employees to use their preferred name and selected gender identity in a different preferred gender pronoun within Workday and also any other internal campus records, so IDs, et cetera, all the directories. So the directory listing actually will change on the 27th. Some people search, it will come up as your preferred name instead of your legal name. And the same, there are a couple other changes that PeopleSoft is making downstream, so downstream from Workday. So a lot of these things will happen over, by December, the whole thing should be done.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
So the last thing I just want to mention as well, in light of President Garrett's call to reduce the burden of bureaucracy, we're also working with some HR folks as well to potentially have some kind of listening sessions or a forum to help the stats committee also contribute to that effort. So more to come.
Thank you. Moving on to the Faculty Senate, I know Dean Burns is not here. Do any of the faculty members have anything they'd like to report? Nope. Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to committee and liaison updates. First up is the Executive Committee, EDC Thompson.
Okay. So we were requested to provide a name for our liaison to the Student Health Advisory Committee by 2 p.m. on September 11th. I volunteered my own name and removed myself from selection process, so the remainder of the executive board chose me to be our Student Health Advisory Committee liaison. We'll be addressing that later in the meeting with one of the resolutions that will be introduced. We have heard back from the President's office about convening a Judicial Administrator Search Committee, and we'll be appointing four members to that committee, and President Garrett has requested the names of those members by September 25th, that's this Friday. So we'll be doing that later in the meeting, as was outlined in the agenda. The President has appointed Debbie Phillip, who's from Administration HR, and Jane Miller from the Office of the President as their two search committee members.
If I may, those two people are going to be supporting the search logistically and resource-wise. I believe the President's office has not yet announced who those two members are.
Along the same lines, President Garrett will attend our October 6th meeting, and she'll be coming right at 4:30. So please submit any questions that you would like the Assembly to ask to me by Wednesday, September 30th at 5 p.m. Ulysses Smith will also be giving a presentation on Policy 6.4 changes during that meeting. And
our next meeting is October 6th.
October 6th.
2 weeks from today.
Yes. Yeah. So just brief background of that. Policy 6.4 was updated over the summer to meet legal requirements of the university. So that's cool.
You'll actually be getting the draft. This isn't the interim policy. You're getting the draft, and there it might not be me. It might be Alan Mitten and others who are actually walking through the changes that are being proposed. And getting feedback on it before the final thing is approved.
Okay. So since we have two presentations during that meeting and President Garrett will be here at 4:30, we ask that everyone please be on time. We'll try to be as punctual as possible. That's all I have for the Executive Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Also adding, Mr. O'Brien, a question.
So we're not going to be able to ask President Garrett questions or no. We have to submit them beforehand.
What we traditionally do, Mr. O'Brien, is we will have two or three questions that are sent ahead of time that we'll feed to the President's office so she comes prepared. General concerns of the Assembly, large issues, the exec board will work to write them and we're asking for input on them. After that, traditionally, there's generally time for a couple of questions from the floor, which we will allow to members, and then time permitting, and over the questions for members, we may even open up to the audience.
I'm sorry, what was the date to get the questions?
Wednesday, September 30th at 5 p.m. It's also when our agenda items will be due. When we send our call for agenda items on Friday, we'll also have a note on that.
Yep.
Mr. Timothy, so.
From those you have confirmed, which may very well be, I'm not sure that the process that you just outlined is what the President is expecting. I know that had been in President Scorton's tenure, that's how he wanted things done, but we should probably check that. With other assemblies, she hasn't requested questions in advance.
Okay.
She wanted to do things more with the body that was present, but we can confirm that offline.
Fantastic. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We were going off what we had operated on previously.
Mm-hmm.
Just final edit from UA exec. You saw 6.4 was revised for imminent legal compliance. We also do have a vacancy for our liaison to the Council on Sexual Violence Prevention. In President Garrett's note to the campus community yesterday, that she stressed the importance of that committee, and it's something we'd very much like to get staffed. So if anyone is willing to serve on that, we would very much be interested in hearing Mr. Coffin.
I nominate Juliana.
I believe she's already serving on that. Yeah.
Never mind then.
Ms. Herman.
Nominate myself.
No. Is there a second? I didn't need to give me a second. We do have one, though. Is there any objections to Ms. Herman serving as CSCP liaison? Hearing none, congratulations. I'll be in touch afterwards, finalizing the logistics. And with that, we turn to other committees and liaisons, facilitated by our vice chair.
So there probably aren't many updates yet, because many of these committees have not met yet. Mr. Coffman, do you have anything from the policy advisory group?
They haven't contacted me.
Okay.
They sent one email saying, like, you are on it, but other than that, there hasn't been.
Okay. Student Health Fee Advisory Committee.
So I'm still getting CAG stuff that you should be getting.
Oh, really?
They haven't taken me off. So there's meetings and things that will be here on the calendar.
Really? Oh, could you use that for me? Okay.
Well, I'll speak afterwards. I had emailed the head of the PAG, and they had said if they were switching everything over, we'll follow up to make sure that if this doesn't sound like it actually happened.
Okay. Professor Howard, do you have anything from the campus planning committee?
No, we haven't met yet. We have a scheduled meeting for the year. I think
those 3 meetings a month. Okay. Mr. Mezzi, anything from PJC?
Other than emails I have to get back to, no.
Okay.
But I will take care of that this week. It's on my list to get things squared away.
Student Health Fee Advisory Committee is me, has not been convened yet. Student Health Plan Advisory Committee, Mr. Indemini.
We're meeting in 2 weeks, I think.
Okay. And obviously we won't have a report from CSVP yet, so that concludes.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add or questions? Hearing none, we'll move to the next first item of business of the day, which is update on UA committee staffing.
The reports that are coming in is that things are going marvelously. The committees are being staffed fairly fully. As was reported, one person from the student assembly. Graduate student GPSA is in the process of developing, but it is fairly far along, and those will be circulated to us all the faculty positions are all full as well. So we're doing well in getting the CIC and the CIC and CJC, I believe, is, we're doing very well.
Fantastic. Any questions for Mr. Hash? Mr. Coffman?
So the CJC is, and it's probably something Greg can speak on. But the CJC is not the working group that is established to investigate the Community Bill of Rights. But I have, and I know like other students have gotten messages from like undergraduates who are interested in the working group. If they're interested in participating in the working group, what would be the process that they would follow to
answer that?
Sure.
If you'd like to send it along to me and Mr. Mezzi, we will sort through it. Once the CJC is formally fully staffed and can convene the first meeting, Mr. Mezzi and I will speak about how the working group will work and how we're going to make sure it gets underway. But as of now, it's just a matter of getting the logistics for the rest of the committees up and running and not putting the cart in front of the horse.
Okay, sounds good.
Any other questions? Hearing none, moving on.
A notification of when our committees are fully staffed.
Yes. I'll catch up. Well, after the GPSA gets its word out, and give you all your.
Thank you.
And which ones do you want? Do you want the CIC, and do you want the campus welfare, and the CJC? But I think CJC is pretty much on top of your staffing, I'll get it.
Thank you, Mr. Hash. Any other comments? Hearing none, moving on to the next order of business. Introduction of Resolution 1, Bylaw Change Establishing a Student Health Fee Advisory Committee Liaison. Mr. Coffin, you have 10 minutes.
Can we do this?
Yeah, you're welcome to.
So this resolution, it's not really a controversial resolution, I don't think. We've already basically established the student health advisory committee liaison position. I'm pretty sure EDC Thompson is filling it. Is that correct? So this is just to get our charter in line with get the bylaws in line with the actual, like, with the fact that we already have a committee liaison. So we're just updating the bylaws. That's really, is there any questions?
Hearing none, this is a bylaw change, so we're going to wait. We will not be voting on it until next meeting. For those who are new to the assembly, we traditionally wait between one meeting between introduction and voting on resolutions anyways, but as there's a bylaw, we do hold them any regardless. So hearing no questions, we'll move on to the next order of business, which is also being that item 3 on the agenda has been moved to the executive session.
I just have one question about the resolution format.
Of course.
So I know this is something too that it appeared that we did last year or the last few years. We have the sponsors of the resolution, but then we also have it being submitted by the chair. And I guess I just don't understand the logic of that because to me, I guess my understanding of the resolution process is that resolutions are sponsored by a member. They have to be sponsored by a member.
Correct.
And they can have additional community members on it, and then that's sort of it. But, you know, I know that I saw this with Jim last year, and everything was sort of submitted by, but it's really submitted by the member or whomever is the sponsor, and the chair is the conduit in which to communicate that to whomever it needs to be. So I guess this is just a process question for moving forward and understanding how we should be setting things up or why we do something the way we do.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Ash, before I turn to you, it's my understanding, the reason that we're doing this is because once the resolution is put forward, it becomes the assembly's resolution. The sponsor was simply the one who brought it. And then afterwards, the person is simply submitted by because that's the person who is verifying the authenticity of the document and submitting it on behalf of the assembly. And the chair or vice chair, when I step aside, would be the one conveying to the president or other respective body and asserting that this is a duly adopted resolution of the assembly. And that would be why it is, because when conveying resolutions on behalf of the assembly, it is the chair's duty, so that's why it is reflected down there. We can definitely have a discussion further, but Mr. Ash?
I think the logic of having submitted by Matthew Cavalier, the chair of the University Assembly, you know, as you put it, is fine, but I think underneath it could say for the committee and for the University Assembly. In other words, add names there.
Because
the confusion, for example, of last year, not confusion, but it is a trail of operations that's a lot more informative to people reading the resolution, that this has been considered by the committee. The committee has come forward with the resolution, and the UA has passed it. Those things could be as a part of the. It does say adopted by a vote of the assembly. Master Tavia, and I could say representative submitted by, but with the originating in the committee. Would that be too much for us, or do you think that's a reasonable way of showing progress?
Mr. Kaufman, you're next.
Could we add on behalf of and then list the names of the sponsors? So that sounds like something people would.
Mr. Mezzi, do you have any response to that, or?
I guess my question, I'm trying to. I don't think, and this is, I have ultimate respect for you, but I don't think everything has to be through the chair. It's something that's submitted by a member, and you're a member, and if we vote, our records, our minutes, our recording, you know, solidifies that into the history of the assembly. I guess I just don't understand the process of why the chair submits everything on behalf of the assembly. So I think what the SA doesn't sponsor everything on, you know, isn't submitted, Juliana doesn't submit everything, DJ doesn't submit everything. I guess I'm trying to understand what other assemblies are doing and their best practices, and then what our best practices as well.
Correct. And then next up on the street was Mr. Indemene.
Well, I just have a question. If this is sponsored by, then a community member technically shouldn't go under that. So they should go under the specifically submitted part.
And it, on the resolution template I emailed out to members, I believe yesterday, there was a line below it would say on behalf of, where we would put community members or other non-voting members for that very concern. And then I believe next up was Mr. Smith.
Yeah, we definitely had on behalf of on the bottom or underneath the sponsored by thing. But I'm in agreement with Greg here. I think though it makes sense though it's well intentioned, I think it comes off as you wrote it. And I would take issue with, you know, a community member or somebody else who actually took the time to write and craft all of this. Now the perception is that these are your words and their language. And I think, again, no other assembly does it like that. But the other part is when the chair communicates the resolution via the action listserv, it's submitted by you then, and you have your note and your summary of the resolution in that email, and you say submitted by there. That doesn't necessarily need to be on the actual resolution itself, because it's not your work or the, I guess if you haven't seen assembly, but it's, to me, this reads as you wrote it or as you would respond to. I think the way all the assemblies have done it, as far as I'm concerned until now, is that the respectfully submitted and everything would also be at the bottom. That's who did it. The sponsor would be the whoever sponsored it, and the community member that did it on behalf of the people that did it. We did at one point on the essay template put on the bottom when it was reviewed by a particular committee. I don't know if y'all still do that or not, but we put the committee that reviewed it and the date that it was reviewed by that committee. But we've never had the chair, unless the chair was the sponsor of the resolution, listed on the resolution. It doesn't ring well for me at all.
Thank you for the comment. And just for those who are new to the UA, over the past couple of years, at least as long as I've been on the assembly, this is the procedure we have followed, because the chair is the one who is verifying through the actions listserv to the administration that this is a resolution that has gone through the assembly. And so that is where we have done it. And also, where the other assemblies, all the assemblies, we are all one, but we are also free to take our own course as we see fit, as we have done in the past. That's not so there's a discussion, but there is definitely, there's not necessarily a need to be uniform across all four. Mr. Kaufman. Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any particular problem with listing the chair's name under a respectfully submitted section, just because I'm pretty sure that the chair conveys the resolution to the president. So, you know, maybe some of them we do it differently, but it doesn't, like, I don't think that's, like, a good reason to just change it. But, you know, I think that you make a really good point, and so we should maybe add on behalf of the sponsors. So I wouldn't, next week when we can amend it, I wouldn't be opposed to adding on behalf of, you know, Gabe Kaufman, undergraduate representative.
It can be amended, just for clarification, it can be amended now.
Oh, it's new business?
It's business of the day. We can amend it.
Okay.
If you'd like to...
Okay.
The distinction between new business and business of the day is asking argumentative questions. You can amend it any time.
Okay.
So is that a formal motion to amend?
Yes, then motion to amend.
Do I have a second? Second. Okay, moving to discussion on that amendment.
So can I
just restate the amendment for the record, please.
So below university assembly, so at the very end, write on behalf of Gabe Gabriel, G-R-B, G-A-B-R-I-E-L, Kaufman, A-U-M-M-A-N, or on behalf of Gabriel Kaufman, undergraduate, comma, University Assembly.
Where would this go?
This would go underneath, university, like the current last.
Correct. It's past the numbering at the very bottom. We're simply adding on that to the very end. And I believe, Mr. Thompson, you are on the speaker's list.
Yeah. So my perspective on this situation is that if the university assembly passes a resolution, then the university assembly as a whole is responsible for the content of that resolution. So perhaps instead of listing on behalf of the sponsors that have already been listed earlier in the resolution, it could say on behalf of the university assembly. And then perhaps if there's a question about authorship, it could be added authored by and then sponsored by, at the top of the resolution. So I just wanted to put that out there as another idea.
Mr. Coffin, do you have anything?
Yeah, I like that idea, actually. I think that's fine. So on behalf of just, can we amend the amendment or?
Let me get through discussion. I'm sorry.
Ms. Jones, thank you. But yes, we'll continue discussion. As I said earlier in the first meeting, we're hoping to change some of the bylaws to allow to streamline process because technically we're not allowed to amend an amendment or withdraw. We will cross that bridge, but I believe Mr. Mezzi, you had a comment.
So I guess until these become, because this is not a controversial resolution.
Right.
Clearly we're spending more time on the makeup because it's number one.
Right.
So we're trying to figure out who we are today. On behalf of the University Assembly, it isn't yet. When you submit this, it's not on behalf of the University Assembly till a majority of us or whatever the call is for that vote go to vote on. So right now, it's on behalf of you. And if it's on behalf of you and five of your friends from the community, that should be who it's on behalf of. And it should only be respectfully, you know, you can respectfully submit that to the Assembly, but it should only be, you know, adopted by the vote of the Assembly when that takes place or through the conveyance mechanism that we have set up for past legislation. I guess I'm saying this should be 100% reflective of whatever state it's in at the moment. And it's not in adopted by or anything like that. It's just being submitted by.
Mr. Coffin, do you have a response?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the way I see it is that we vote on the resolution, and then depending on what that, you know, whether or not the Assembly agrees on that resolution, will determine whether or not it gets conveyed to the President. So, I mean, we can't add things after we pass the resolution. So if we're going to say, like, the Chair's name on it anywhere, or respectfully submitted by the Chair at all, then it seems like it would have to be in the text of the document before we vote on it.
But the Chair is not submitting it. You are.
Right. But there's... Yes, I'm submitting it to the Assembly to vote on it, and then the Assembly, through the Chair, submits it to the President.
So sure.
Yeah. And I would just in an effort to clarify, when we have a resolution in front of us, the text that we're debating is just the text we're debating, and once it's approved, obviously in this case it says respectfully submitted by, but that doesn't have any weight or any actual conveyance until it's been approved, but we discuss the resolution as a whole of the text that we will send. Mr. Hash?
Yeah, I seconded this, but I understand the logic now. The point is that we've got in the text of this resolution that it was adopted by a vote of the Assembly, and Greg is saying it hasn't been adopted. I don't know and we have respectfully submitted when it won't be submitted until after we've adopted it and we actually send it off. I don't know what the rules of play for, and I think before we get into a big discussion of this now, if there are particular rules to govern what has to be in the resolution when we vote on it versus what happens subsequent to that to just convey it in the proper channels, then we should look at those rules before we make any massive declaration about what's going on here. So I suggest that we table this discussion until we get more information about what we need to put in a resolution and what should be left out until various actions take place. Subsequent to that, I do suggest, and I did second it, that we have some kind of cognizance of the people who have submitted it. I see up here it's sponsored by the following people. That seems to be enough. Down below, eventually, we're going to have to put that it's submitted to the President by somebody, and the person who's charged with submitting it, as far as I'm aware, is the Chair of the Assembly. And we can put in there, if we wish, as it says here, adopted by a vote of the Assembly, too. But that's, I think, speculative until we find out if there are rules about what has to be in a resolution when we vote on it. So I suggest that we table this until we have more information on what particular rules are necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Hatch. And we'll continue the speaker's list, and then if the sponsor of the amendment would like to withdraw it, I would permit it for this to expedite matters. But next is Mr. Walrath.
would say it seems that the confusion is this resolution, the resolution submitted to the assembly, the resolution submitted to the president. The resolution submitted to the assembly, then it's submitted to the assembly by the sponsor. If it's the resolution the assembly submits to the president, then it's submitted by the chair. It's the question is, you know, what is this resolution really? Is it a resolution submitted to the assembly, or is it the approving resolution that will be submitted to the president?
On our blank resolution A, it says at the bottom, respectfully submitted James N. Blair, person submitting approved resolution to university officials and defendants. That's on our format. I'm simply saying, before we get into even more of a massive discussion than time is allowed, I suggest that we just look at this in according to what kind of rules we have. This is a template. We're questioning the template.
Yes, and Mr. Hatch, if I may, next time I'd ask that you wait for the speaker's list, so not a problem. But, and also that template is, I believe, last year's template. I had circulated an updated one that had removed Mr. Blair as chair because he is no longer chair. Next on the speaker's list is Ms. Giambattista. Do you still have a comment?
I was just going to, the question that Marty has is about process, and I think Richard just articulated the process is that a resolution comes forth to the body. It is either passed or not passed. Not all resolutions necessarily go any place. They may be conveyed to the president, they may be conveyed to a chair, they may be conveyed in other places. The mechanism by which a resolution that's passed is conveyed is the chair. But the chair doesn't have any, unless again, it's, as Ulysses said, it's sponsoring the resolution. The process is as it's been articulated. There's no rules, but standard process is that a sponsor of a resolution brings it forth, owns the bill until the legislation is passed or not passed, and then the public record supports whatever the body decided. And the public record is what we support in the Office of the Assembly. So that doesn't all need to be in the resolution. That conflates an awful lot of process on a document that it's not appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Timothy. And if I may clarify, once the resolution has been brought forward to the Assembly and accepted on the agenda, it is technically no longer the sponsor's. It is now of the Assembly, and the Assembly may do with it as it sees fit. Just to clarify, Mr. Coffin, do you have anything to respond?
This is more of a question. So the resolution is made to somebody.
Could they?
By the chair.
Maybe.
Could they?
Thank you.
So I'm going to, if it said adopted, not adopted, or indefinitely tabled, right? Then, but this is assuming things too are going to be adopted, because we don't put not adopted by the assembly when there's a vote that rejects a resolution, or like we had a few years ago, permanently tabled of a resolution, and who are we submitting that to? I just think it's presumptive, and I don't think it's proper. Because, yes, this resolution is entering the body and becomes ownership of the assembly by whatever member sponsored it. Because the member who sponsored it still tees up the resolution and communicates it, not the chair or the executive vice chair or any one of the executive members. So there's still some ownership of that when it's at this table.
And as we are concluding the time we had aside for this resolution, Mr. Coffin, do you have anything like to close with before I will allow you if you'd like to withdraw the amendment for the sake of discussion, so we can discuss this after the meeting.
I'll motion to withdraw the amendment.
I agree with the
okay.
So we'll withdraw the amendment. Closing thought. I understand that it's not the content of the resolution that's controversial. It's more the context of the resolution and how our resolution should appear for the rest of the year. So I understand that. It seems like that would be a conversation that's best had in executive committee, because debating this each time a resolution is passed probably isn't a good use of the little time that we have. But I look forward to presenting this at our next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Coffin. As the time has expired, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is also sponsored by Mr. Coffin, which would be Resolution 2, which is a charter change aligning the University Assembly's role in a judicial administrative search process with practice. You have 10 minutes again.
So
5 minutes, pardon me.
I'd like to add that this might have a similar problem to the one that you addressed earlier, but nonetheless, so this resolution Again, not in content is not really controversial. It basically just says that the JA should be able to participate in the event of a vacancy in the offices of the Ombudsman or Judicial Code Counselor, the President or designee will appoint a search committee to which the Assembly may appoint a representative. In the event of a vacancy in the Judicial Administrator's Office, the procedure laid out in Article 2, Section A, Subsection C of the Campus Code of Conduct for constituting a search will be followed. Basically, this is just aligning our charter with the Campus Code of Conduct. So I don't think there's, you know, we're not adding any, you know, we're not creating any rules. We're just simply amending our charter.
Thank you, Mr. Kaufman. And just on this, it's bringing us into bringing our charter into alignment. At the beginning of this year, with the vacancy in the Judicial Administrator's Office, our charter was saying one thing and the Campus Code was saying another. After discussing with the President and the President's Office, we are following the Campus Code of Conduct that supersedes our charter. This is merely bringing our charter into alignment to prevent any future confusion or issue over that. And also, this will require a two-thirds, next meeting, it will require a two-thirds vote of all the members seated, which would be 13 members. So please do attend the meeting, because if we don't have the correct number of members, we cannot pass it. Are there any questions on this resolution? Mr. Waller.
Question on the procedure. So the quorum is still the same, so as long as we have 13 members, then if we pass with those 13 members, it's...
That is correct. Quorum is 9. We have 18 members, so two-thirds of that would be 2/3 is 12, plus 1 is 13. So if we have 13 members, then I would have to vote as chair to push it through. But as long as we have 13 members, we will be able to pass this, correct? Mr. Smith.
Just FYI, line 35, you're missing the Campus Code of Conduct.
I'm sorry, what?
Line 35, it should be the Campus Code of Conduct, subsection 3 of the FYI.
Thank you. We can handle that. Is there a stylistic error on the other side before we talk about it next week? Mr. Menzies, do you have a comment?
Just because next week we have the President and the presentation.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion that needs to happen on this now, or would this be a good time to have a discussion if anybody wants to have a discussion on it, so that we're...
We do have time. That's one of the reasons we did exceed the, especially in the last resolution, I allowed it because we do have time. Our executive session should be fairly brief. And we are still figuring things out as the year begins. If there's any questions or discussion, please have it now, or anyone is welcome to it. Mr. Professor Lowe.
Are you going to submit this to?
This will be going to the President because it is a charter change and needs her approval, of which there will be 30 days for her to deliver it or send it back.
The bylaws, we don't need to send
it. No. Bylaws, we generally send as a courtesy, as an update, but we are not, the bylaws are take effect as soon as passed. Is there any other discussion, comments? Mr. Law.
Why doesn't this say approved? Yeah. The other one says adopted by the Assembly.
Because the first resolution is a bylaw change. Therefore, it goes into effect immediately. This has to be submitted for approval to the President's office.
Yeah, but because this is coming from us, you say we approve it. Then it's up to him to put his approval on. So, I mean, you have to be consistent in what, in fact, I find to be inconsistent anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if we're going to be consistent or inconsistency, then when we vote on this, the university simply has adopted it in the same way. It doesn't matter whether it's a bylaw or whether it's anything mm-hmm. else. If we vote on it and we adopt it, the university simply adopted it. And that's mm-hmm. what this should say. It shouldn't say that we adopted it before we voted on it and adopted it. I agree with Greg. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't want to draw this any further. I'm just sort of sitting here chuckling about the fact that we spent so much time on, you know, what it means, and it's sort of fairly obvious that that's, get that. But, if it's going to be adopted, then it's adopted.
Mm-hmm.
One question I have is, if resolutions, once they are in writing like this and they appear on the agenda, these resolutions exist in either electronic or paper format in the Assembly office, whether they're passed or not?
Yep.
Okay.
That's correct.
And that means that these resolutions have to have a, you can't just say, well, we didn't vote on it and just throw it away like it never existed. It has to have not passed, right? In which case it just sits and says it was not passed, or passed, or adopted,
Right. I think there's on the assembly's dashboard, there are several different the status of any action is listed there.
Right. Yeah. So. Okay.
No problem. And thank you, and thanks for bringing it up. The reason we had followed this is because looking off of last year's resolution templates, which I had brought forward, that was the procedure we had followed in years previous. Based on the discussion from earlier in the Assembly, it sounds like we're going to be adopting a new standard, of which the Assembly is free to do, and I have no objections to. Mr. Kaufman, did you have a comment or response?
Mm-hmm. So if we include language in a resolution that says, like, adopted by the vote of the Assembly or submitted by the chair, even if it isn't submitted by the chair because the resolution failed, then we as a body have negated the text of the resolution. So, for example, if it says, you know, in UA Resolution 1, it says adopted by vote of the Assembly. If we were to have to put not adopted by vote of the Assembly in the resolution, and then we were to vote to not pass that resolution, then there would be a conflict in, like, logic, because we would have not passed a resolution that said that we weren't going to pass that resolution. So we would have passed the resolution and not passed it at the same time. So
that's why none of that.
Mr. Mather.
Yes.
At request for quorum,
whether it's adopted or not should not be part of the resolution that we haven't adopted. It doesn't belong in the resolution. I mean, you can. I mean, I don't know Robert through the word by heart. But none of that should be in the resolution until after it's adopted. Then the sponsors are there, right? So we know where it's coming from. None of this adopted, but that can be part of the resolution, because then I'd be going to say, well, it's part of the resolution. I want an amendment. You know, let's change that word. Let's drop the adopted. No, that shouldn't even be there until after it's adopted. Then we have a status in electronically. This is stored. It then says, this was adopted, becomes part of our official record, and then the rest of that follows in terms of who submits it and where it goes. But none of that below be it resolved should even be on a resolution, because how can we vote on adopted by? Yeah. It becomes redundant.
Thank you, Professor Lowe. Mr. Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. So I actually think that to do it a different way would make it where you wouldn't be, like, the body would not be able to edit the people or anything below the actual text of the resolution itself. So if we were to stop doing that, for example, so if we were to just cut off the resolution right before it says respectfully submitted, for example, then if we wanted to add people's names or change titles or anything, we wouldn't be able to do that, because that process would be set outside of the body. So to have it in the resolution actually allows us to have the conversation that we're having right now. Otherwise, we couldn't even have this conversation.
Mr. Mazzi?
I think it should be respectfully submitted by those who submit it to the Assembly, is my point. I think it should be submitted. You know, the sponsor has to be a University Assembly member. But it can be submitted, you know, on behalf of these people, or, you know, arm in arm with, you know, whomever it may be. And that should be there. I think if we want to put a cover page on every resolution once it's passed that says, you know, it was adopted by a vote of 10 to 2 to 1 or whatever it might be, so that it can live on forever, that's fine. But I don't think, because, and I'm now sort of getting confused, because there's two different, you know, adopted by a vote and respectfully submitted.
One's a bylaw, one's a charter.
I understand that, but I guess I don't see the place for the chair to be on every resolution. I don't see the point. I think it should be submitted by the member.
I think that there's an argument to be made that maybe not on bylaw changes, but I think, like, definitely on charter changes, because those have to be submitted to the president.
Yeah, but you're submitting the change to the charter to the Assembly. The Assembly votes on it, and then all Matt does is say, here's the charter change, you know, Madam President, for your approval or consideration. That's where the submission comes, not on the resolution. It's a minute difference. But
that's why the line numbers end, because it's not really the resolution anymore.
Gentlemen, we have quite a significant speakers list. Mr. Indemani, do you have a comment?
I just feel like if we're going to be debating this kind of stuff for 45 minutes in a meeting, that maybe we should have monthly meetings or something. I don't know. I feel like it's not a useful allocation of time.
If I, I'll move on to the next question. But we are just in the beginning of the year. We do have a considerable agenda ahead of us after this. Mr. Smith, you are next.
I don't disagree. I do think on some levels it is a bit silly for us to be discussing this, particularly when there are some pretty good templates that have been used very consistently over the last few years that do not do this at all. And I think we should take advantage of the fact that those exist. I get that every assembly can do something a little bit differently, and we all like to do something. There are a bunch of us in here who have chaired these assemblies a couple times. So it's like we get that think that there's value in that. I think there's value for the person receiving these resolutions that they are consistent in some way. So I know exactly who it was sponsored by, who it was sponsored on behalf of, and then who, at the very bottom, it was respectfully submitted by that sponsor of the assembly. Everything you said, everything you all have said about the vote total and, you know, that little line of this is for your consideration, it literally in the email, is all you have to write in the email when you convey it to whoever you're conveying it to. If I had put my name on every resolution when I was the chair of the assembly or as president of the assembly, heads would have rolled. They would have hated that my name was on that stuff. And quite frankly, I don't want my name on some of the resolutions that I had to convey to the president because I did not agree with them. So I personally think that we should just go back or use the templates that have been available that are used by the EA, the SAA, the GPSA, and not try to adopt something very strange and do all this, like, cut it off at this line and whatever foolery. I think this is a silly debate.
Point of information.
Yes, Mr. Crawford.
Have resolutions in the past on the university assembly been submitted on this template?
That is correct. This is the template we used last year with the only changes, myself being chair. Mr. Hatch.
I suggest that we pass this, as I said before, we pass over this discussion to get more information. I heartily suggest that everybody who has an idea of how it should be to write it down, submit it to the executive committee. In other words, get an idea of what resolution you're talking about, write down what you think should go at the bottom and the process for it. And the executive committee will come up with some suggestions and we'll discuss them at the next time when these things will actually be in, voted on. But I really agree entirely with
thank you, Mr. Hatch. Mr. Rawls, did you have another?
I'm just exactly what you said, which is this should be tabled.
And thank you.
We should come up with suggestions for a future template.
Thank you.
Motion to table.
Our time has expired, so I will just move that through with unanimous consent. That concludes our agenda. We don't have any late additions. We do have an executive session after the meeting where we're going to be discussing the appointment of the Judicial Administrative Search Committee as well as some other matters regarding the Judicial Administrator. But that being said, the open part of our meeting is adjourned at 5:19.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.